Hello, my name is Carrie. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm in recovery for drugs, alcohol, and the effects of abuse. Hi. I was born and raised in Alaska in a family of four. I have one younger sister. My dad and I were close, but I struggled with my relationship with my mom. I felt judged by her. I have a very large extended family, and we all lived near each other. To some, this may have looked ideal, but alcoholism and sexual abuse were rampant. The abuse by a family member started at a very young age. I can't exactly remember when. I didn't know it was wrong, just that I felt dirty afterwards. In first grade, I remember Officer Friendly coming to class to teach us about good touch, bad touch. My heart started pounding, and I looked around, afraid everyone can see the mark of shame I thought I bore. I was already the kid that didn't fit in, and I was bullied up to middle school. When I was 7, I remember walking home after school and seeing a sign in a window that said, "Good News Club meets here today." I was lonely and felt like I didn't fit in anywhere. I thought, I sure could use some good news today, so I knocked on the door. I was greeted by a lady, probably in her 70s. She had a warm smile and kind eyes. It was there that I began to learn about Jesus. I loved the felt board stories from the Bible, the attention and hugs she gave me. My family wasn't very affectionate, and I was hungry for love. It was there that I asked Jesus into my heart. My family didn't go to church, so I started going with her. It was a very conservative church that met Sunday morning and evening and had a midweek service. I was very faithful to attend because I wanted to make sure that God loved me. The sermons always seemed to be about hell and sin, coupled with a congregation that was quick to judge and expected perfection. Feelings of being unworthy were piled onto the shame I tried so desperately to hide. The abuse continued through elementary school. I remember times when family members would walk in and see what he was doing. My gaze pleaded for help, but they turned around and shut the door behind them. If this was wrong, why wouldn't anybody stop it? Feelings of abandonment were thrown onto shame and feeling unworthy. The abuse stopped by middle school, but not the nightmares. It was around this time one of my best friend's father was arrested for sexually abusing her. When her dad was released from prison, he was ordered by the courts to have no contact with her. To comply with this, the church we went to asked her not to come anymore so that her father could attend. I was confused and I was angry. I decided if it's more important for a church to cater to an abuser over the needs of a child, God must not be loving, so I quit going to church. I've struggled with food for as long as I can remember. In high school, I decided to do something about my weight, so I went on a diet. It started out healthy enough. It wasn't long before it spiraled out of control. I restricted, and when I thought I ate too much, I purged. As my weight dropped, I began to be more accepted. I also excelled in school and joined multiple extracurricular activities. If I worked hard enough, performed well enough, and was thin, surely I'd be worthy and accepted. Maybe I wouldn't have to feel the shame rooted deep inside. I also started cutting at this time. I started to go to church again. After all, that's what good girls do. This church was different than the other one. People were warm and welcoming. They spoke of God's unconditional love for us all. It was so unlike what I'd learned in the past. I was too afraid to let that love in, but it planted seeds in my heart. By my senior year, it was evident that I was not doing well. I had been in individual therapy for a while, but was still depressed. My therapist decided to include family therapy. 10 minutes into the session, my mom walked out. I again felt abandoned. I was accepted into Seattle Pacific University. I couldn't wait to get away. I loved the city and the opportunity to make new friends. I still struggled with food and depression, but I went to counseling and managed to get my degree. I made friends that I truly cared about, but I used my humor to keep them from really knowing me. After all, if they knew the real me, they'd abandon our friendship. After I graduated, I moved back to Alaska to do an internship. One day, not long after I moved there, I was walking down the street when a man came up behind me and shoved me into the woods where he sexually assaulted me. After he left, I laid there, not sure what to do. I watched both a couple and another person walk on by. I was again ambushed by feelings of unworthiness. It was at this time I began to use alcohol to cope. From the first sip, I knew I shouldn't be doing this. I had witnessed what it did to my family. I used alcohol, cigarettes, and food to make it through the internship. After I completed it, I moved back to my hometown and helped manage a diabetes clinic for the Native Health Center. I was successful at my job with plans to move up within Indian Health Service's diabetes program. I drank on occasion, but nowhere near the extent I did during my internship. I was doing well for a while. Issues with food came up again and quickly became unmanageable. I made the decision to go to treatment, and I ended up going to a Christian treatment center in Arizona. I felt so much peace there and learned more about God's unconditional and redeeming love. I returned home and did well for a while. I didn't have access to the follow-up care I needed and returned to unhealthy ways to cope. I was having trouble with coworkers, and my depression turned into hopelessness. No matter how hard I tried, I never felt good enough. I decided it was time to end it all and attempted suicide. If my dad hadn't have decided to come when he did, I would not be here today. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." God was with me, even though I could not see it at the time. I ended up in treatment again, this time in Texas. I made it through about 90% of the program when I decided to get drunk with another girl while we were out on a pass. I was asked to leave, but my counselor was kind enough to help me arrange aftercare plans before I left. It was recommended that I do an intensive outpatient program that wasn't offered where I lived, so I packed my bags and headed to Oregon. I moved in with a friend from college and started treatment. I drove down Highway 99 looking for a job at Starbucks. God's hand was evident in this process. Of all the Starbucks, I ended up getting a job at one with many Christians who worked there. I made new friends and moved into an apartment of my own. One of my friends invited me to church. It was there that I would meet the man I would marry. I had fun with my new friends, and we'd go out and have drinks. My drinking increased, and I hid how much I was drinking from the people in my life. I got a new job, and my husband and I got married about a year after we started dating. I had wanted to be a nurse for a long time, but was too afraid of failure to try. I decided to apply to nursing school before I got married, and I was accepted into OHSU. I was ecstatic. At the end of my first year, I was accepted into a competitive internship with the Veterans Hospital and worked there while also attending school. I graduated in 2008 with honors, and my internship transitioned into a job. I continued to drink during this time, and because I was doing so well, I told myself it was okay. I was an excellent nurse and quickly took on leadership roles. I was the charge nurse on the weekends and began to precept new hires and nursing students. My patients and my coworkers liked me. My identity was in my career. Meanwhile, my drinking got worse. I was trying to hide the extent of my drinking from my friends and family. It was damaging my marriage, and both my husband and I decided it was time for me to stop and get help. I began counseling and walked through the doors of Celebrate Recovery towards the end of 2009. I was so afraid. I didn't know anyone, and I didn't like talking in groups. I begrudgingly joined a step study. I made it clear that if this did not work, I wanted my money back for the books. I didn't get it. I found an awesome sponsor and accountability partners. I began opening up to people. God brought a Christian woman into my life who I've come to consider my adopted mama because she provides support, wisdom, love, and guidance to me. My husband and I began to attend Rolling Hills. I relapsed a couple of times, but overall was working to be sober. Towards the end of my step study, I injured my knee and ended up on pain medication. At first, I was fine with them, but there came a time when they made me high, and I loved the feeling. I was hooked. It was so easy to hide. I continued to come to CR and perform well at my job. Meanwhile, I needed more and more to feel good. My prescription never lasted long, and I ended up getting them elsewhere. I knew it had gotten out of control and mentioned it to a couple people, but only half-heartedly tried to stop. I was using up our money to purchase them, and our savings quickly dwindled. I was so desperate to get more that I stole a blank prescription from a clinic I volunteered at, and the girl and I bought drugs from attempted to write a prescription for pain meds. We were caught, arrested, and eventually convicted. My world came crashing down. I took a leave of absence from work and reported myself to the nursing board. I sought help. I was mad at myself, and feelings of shame and failure came back. I was tired of pretending and being a slave to my drug of choice. Jeremiah 29:11-14 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity." I did not want to be held captive by my addiction anymore and began to pray to God for help. I was finally ready to not just surrender, but fully surrender to God in the recovery process. For me, the second principle has been especially important. It says, earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to him, and that he has the power to help me recover. Every time I go to CR or meet for step study, I hear that I matter to God. The past year and a half have not been easy. I was able to keep my nursing license, but I lost my job, good friends, and financial security. My marriage was damaged. I remember being in the midst of this loss and felt God asking me, "If you lost it all, would my son be enough?" I'd like to say I answered yes right away, but it took me some time to realize that he is all I need. I slowly began to see God's hand in my life and see how he has been answering prayers. My husband and I began counseling, and I joined another step study, this time more willingly. My marriage is far from perfect, but it is way better than it was before. We are learning healthy communication. I strive to be honest with my sponsor and open to people who support me. God answered my prayers about loneliness when he brought people into my husband's and my life that invited us to community group. I was nervous to open up because of the hurt of feeling abandoned by my friends, but when I did, I was surrounded by a group of loving women. I spent a little over a year looking for another nursing job without success. In March of this year, I voluntarily surrendered my nursing license. It was a big loss for me because I enjoyed being a nurse and had worked so hard to become one. I am not sure what God has in store for me, but he promises it's going to be a good plan. I am learning to find my worth in how God sees me. I am by no means fixed. I am working through the shame and abuse with my adopted mama. I still struggle with food and wanting to use substances to cope. My pride gets in the way of me seeing and working on my character defects. My sponsor is helping me to appreciate and thank God for the victories I do have. I am grateful for every day I stay clean and sober. That's a victory. I turn to God instead of substances way more than I did a year and a half ago. That's a victory. It took losing all that I did to get to this point today, but it's worth it because I've been able to see that God's love can provide way more than drugs or alcohol ever can. Lately, when I get overwhelmed, I read Psalm 116:1-9, which says, "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. It reminds me that God has brought me through this far and will continue to do so. To the newcomer, I'm so glad you're here. I'd encourage you to give recovery a chance. For me, it took fully surrendering to the process before I was able to experience true recovery. It's so important to build up a support team and find a sponsor to walk beside you. I'd encourage you to join a step study and work the steps. I have been through two and I'm co-leading my third. With each one, I have learned something new about myself and areas that need healing. Recovery is a journey, and there are great moments and dark ones as well. A quote by Fannie Flagg says it well. It's always darkest just before the glorious dawn. Thank you.